All right, we're going to be in John chapter 15. I think I've said that many times, right? And of course, when you look at the context and setting of John chapter 15, they are, I believe, still in the upper room. The Passover has happened. Judas has already taken the bread and Satan entered him and he is gone. And, you know, but if you remember, at the end of chapter 14, Jesus stands up and he says, come, let us go from here. But when you go to chapter 18, it says, when they left from there. So perhaps they got up and they're on their way there to the meeting with Judas. Come on. And they're going through, or on Mount of Olives, going through the Garden of Gethsemane, perhaps, and they see a grapevine. And that's when Jesus speaks about this grapevine. But the grapevine was very important in Israel. It was on the gates going into Jerusalem. It was on the temple door. So and even Isaiah calls Israel like a grapevine. Amen. So it was an important symbol. So it shouldn't surprise you this morning that Jesus is going to use the analogy of a grapevine. Amen. And the title of today's message is going to be, I am the vine and you are the branches. Amen. Who's more important? You are not the vine. You are not the vine. You are the branches. Now, before we start reading this morning, Jesus uses a beautiful imagery here of a vine, right, and branches. And what he's doing here, I want to tell you ahead of time, he's doing this to illustrate our relationship with him. Are you following me? I don't know why I say that, but he is the true vine. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. And here's what we're going to see is that our Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. Now, this is the first time I ever checked out AI. All right, so I checked out AI, and listen, I said, AI, we're going to be talking about the vine and the branches and the Father being the vine dresser. Can you generate me a picture of this? And this is the picture that was generated through AI, right here. Isn't that cool? Do you see in his hand there, like the Holy Spirit there? And what he's doing is he is the vine dresser. You say, why am I explaining this to you before we even read? Because I want you to understand it when we read. I want to put a picture in your mind. Because even though this is a physical picture, he is talking spiritually. Amen? So what a beautiful picture. Evidently, AI sees God as this guy in a white robe, an older man with white hair. But isn't that kind of how you see him? Huh? Unapproachable lie. Yes. All right, so Jesus also says that in this chapter, he says that any fruit that does not, any vine that does not bear fruit, listen, he says it will be cut off, it will wither, first of all, and then it will be cut off, and it will be thrown into the fire. So you know what? Heck, I'm on a roll with this AI thing. So I said, Lord, Lord, let me ask AI and see what he says. She, he, it, what? I said, give me a picture of God who has picked off limbs or branches that were not bearing fruit, and he's throwing them in the fire. And you know what I got? This is what I got. Amen? That is a very sad picture there, if you really understand what we're fixing to read. Because the branches that God has, he is going to be the vine dresser, the branches that he has, these are the ones that are withering, and these are the ones that are not bearing fruit, and these are the ones that he is going to take, and they will be burned in the fire. Now listen, I am a firm believer, Miss Beverly, once saved, always saved. I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you remember back in John chapter 14, last week, or maybe the week before, Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and he will be with you forever. Amen. So I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. The question is, are you saved? Amen. That's not for me to decide. You say, okay, so what does he mean then when he says he's taking these branches? He's going to be talking about that. And he's going to take these branches that were on the vine and throw them in the fire. Well, the truth is, they were never truly connected to the vine, because if they had been, they would not have withered. Okay? Now listen, not only that, I want to give you an example. I was talking to Alan Taylor yesterday, and I was telling him about kind of the outline of this sermon. I said, maybe I'm going to be talking about this. He said, Judas was a perfect example. Judas looked like part of the vine, didn't he? Come on, he looked like he was attached to it, bearing fruit of it. But what? He wasn't. He never was attached to the vine. I want you to think about something else. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, did we not cast out demons, do many wonderful works, prophesy in your name? That's fruit, by the way. But I will tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. Listen to me. That right there tells me two things. One, I need to know Jesus. Two, more importantly, he needs to know me. Amen. Come on, he needs to know me. Depart from me, I never knew you. He needs to know who you are as well. Amen? All that before we read a word. Come on. All right, you ready? Yeah. What's the first two words in John chapter 15? That is Jesus' seventh I am statement. And he says those words for a reason. Because he wants you to know that he is the great I am. He is God. Amen? All right. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Remember, we talked about those people who were prophesying, casting out demons, doing many wonderful works? All that work was for nothing because they never were in the vine. That's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing that will matter or nothing that will last for eternity. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. You know, when I read things like that, I'm always thankful, man. I'm not that one. You know what? I'm not gonna even get a flick of fire. I'm saved 100% all the way through. But I don't want anybody else to go there either. I really don't want anybody else to go there either, because I understand to the degree that I think I'm capable that is not a good place. That is not a good place where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die and it's forever. That's not a good place. And I don't want anybody to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. Anybody, even Pelosi. Come on. Bob said, what? Yeah, even her, man. Even her. All right. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Man, this is a beautiful picture. These are some beautiful, powerful words, right? So when we abide in Jesus, he's talking about we have a connection, right? Because when you look up the original language, it means to tarry, to stay connected to. Amen? All right, so we're connected to him. We're nourished by Jesus because the branch is nourished by what? It is nourished by the vine. And he says that when that happens, when that takes place, we will not just bear fruit, we will bear much fruit. And what is that fruit? That fruit is the evidence of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Am I right? That fruit is the evidence of our love for Jesus Christ. And it also, just like it says here, it's the proof that you and I belong to him and we are his disciples. Why? Because a disciple of Christ, a branch of Christ who is in the vine, will bear fruit. Do you think when Jesus is talking to those people, when he said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter," do you think they were surprised? They were surprised. What do you mean? You were never in the vine. You thought you were. You were doing all the things that made you look like you were, just like Judas. But you were never in the vine. Man, you know what? If you're not 100% sure you're in the vine this morning, don't leave here without that assurance. Amen. I'm telling you, and I can give you that assurance. Well, God can give it to you. I can just show you how to get there. How about that? Amen? All right. So when Jesus says, abide in me, when I think about that, I think about, man, this is about my will. This is about the choice I make. This is about the decision that I make. And I need to make a conscious decision every day to stay connected to stay in and stay a part of the vine. It is a decision, isn't it? And it is a choice. And I think that's what it means to abide in him, to be in him. And the NIV says, remain in him. But, you know, I got to make that choice every day. And, you know, sometimes I don't. And it don't take me long to figure it out that I made the wrong choice. Because there's a difference between abiding and not abiding. I want to bring that picture back up because here's what I want you to know about this fruit, this bearing fruit, because it requires patience. It requires perseverance to bear this fruit that God is talking about. So just as a vine dresser will come along and prune those vines, right? And why is he pruning those vines? He is pruning those vines so that they would become more fruitful. That's why the grapevine vine dresser is doing it. So when our Heavenly Father comes along and he prunes us, number one, it says this, you are in the vine. Come on. Praise the Lord for that pruning. That means I'm in the vine. No pruning. No pruning. Ooh. Boy, thank goodness. Boy, I'm up here. He must see me as needing a lot of pruning. So that's why our Heavenly Father prunes us. Because he wants us to be and bear more fruit. Amen. For him. So he's pruning us and he's shaping us. And he's doing all this because he wants you and I to look more like his son, Jesus Christ. Remember, yeah, we're talking about a physical picture here, but he's talking spiritually. And all that pruning and all that shaping and all that stuff the Holy Spirit does and the Word is doing in you. Make no mistake about it. His ultimate goal is to make you and I more like Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. And we have a perfect example. Because he showed us, Jesus showed us what God looks like in the flesh and how God acts in the flesh because he was God in the flesh. Am I right? All right. So this process of pruning can be painful. It can be difficult. It can be challenging. And here's why. Because generally when the pruning when he speaks about pruning, what he's talking about is the struggles that we go through. What he's talking about is the trials and the tribulations that we go through. Come on. But it's absolutely necessary, don't you know? It is. Just like it's absolutely necessary for the vine and the branches to be pruned, hear me, It's absolutely necessary for you and I to be pruned by God. It's necessary for our fruitfulness, because here's what he said. He comes up upon a branch, that's you and me, and he says, this branch looks good. This branch bears fruit. But if I just prune it right here, and if I just prune it right here, then I can make this fruitful branch bear even more fruit. Amen. You know, when you're in the process of pruning, and listen, sometimes again it can be difficult. Amen. Can anybody agree with that? Right? At least two of you have been pruned in here, and the rest of you are what? Withering on the vine? Huh? Man, it can be difficult. It can be challenging. But here's what I want you to remember something. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, God says, the ones he loves is the ones he disciplines and chastens. Again, thank you, Lord, because you pruning me, and you chastising me, and you disciplining me proves that I'm yours. Amen. Amen. So bring it on. Well, hey, if it'll make me better, no pain, no gain, right? So what is God doing in this spiritual process of pruning? Here's what he's doing. He's cutting off those dead parts, those dead areas, or as the vine dresser would call it, the dead wood in our lives. You know what those things are doing? Those are the things that he's trimming off. Those are the things that are keeping us from growing spiritually. Come on. Those are the things that are keeping us from bearing more fruit. Sometimes it's our own attitude. You know, we got this fruit in our life and we're all happy about it, but that's not, God wants you to bear more fruit. Too much is given, much will be required. What does your grapevine look like? I mean, is there any fruit on it at all? Because if there ain't any fruit on your branch, isn't that a problem? Because he makes it clear here, doesn't he, Andy? To the branches that did not bear any fruit, they were never in him to begin with. And that's why they withered, and that's why they will be thrown into the fire. Into the fire. So, just as a vine dresser does that to the vine. And by the way, they do that. They go through every one of those vines and they trim them and they prune them to make sure that they'll bear the most possible fruit that they possibly can. Amen? And that's what God is doing to us, or God wants to do for us. And listen, here's the deal. He does all this to make you and I more productive in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God. Can I tell you this morning? Nothing physically you see is going to be around one day. Nothing. Your bank account, your car, your house, it'll all be gone. All of it. The fruit he's talking about here is not physical, material fruit. He is talking about spiritual fruit. Amen. I want to do that. Mike, you volunteer at the Center of Hope, man, what, 2 days a week? And man, you just think of the fruit that you are producing. God is using you, right, to produce fruit at the Center of Hope. Janet, look at what God has done through you, man. All you got to do is be in the vine and be producing a little fruit. God said, well, I'll trim you up a little bit right here, and we'll bear more fruit. Amen. Man, we just pass that down and pass that along. Pretty soon, we got a vineyard that looks like that. You see that? Man, just fruit everywhere. I mean, really, just ask yourself for a moment, man, just for a moment. What does your vine look like? What does your branch look like? That is a very valid question. And that is a fair question for each of us as God's children to ask ourselves. What does your branch look like? Amen. And only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. But if you want my opinion, just come ask me. Amen? All right. So something else he's saying here, which is very cool, is that the branch is not separate from the vine. Right? What he's saying here is the branch is just an extension of the vine. It shares the same life source, doesn't it? The same nutrients. But listen, it also shares the same purpose. And the purpose is what? To bear fruit. So in the same way, you and I as believers, as children of God, we're not separate from Jesus. We're in connection with Jesus. We're extensions of Jesus. And what that means is, the way he's speaking here spiritually, is we are extensions of his love, extensions of his life, extensions of his mercy, extensions of his grace. Come on, we're just an extension of him. That's what he's saying here too. Can I ask you this morning, what is the primary function of the branch? Is that the vine's job? No. The vine's job is to put the branch in a position to bear the fruit. And just this vine I'm talking about, it never fails. It'll put you in the position to bear fruit. The question is, are you or have you taken him up on it? So the primary function of the branch, yes, is to bear fruit. But Jesus says that a fruitless branch has no value. That's what he's saying. Because if it's taken down and it's thrown into the fire, I want you to know in his eyes that it had no value. No value in this world. No value in the kingdom. No value at all. Amen? So as believers, that's right, our primary function is to remain in the vine, abide in the vine, and bear much fruit. That is our job. But listen, here's the cool part. When we do that, when we abide in that vine and we're a fruitful branch, here's what happens. We get to show the beauty of Jesus. Because we are an extension of the vine, and the vine is beautiful. And when we act in accordance to what our calling is and what we're chosen for, we get to display the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's not all that we read. It also said that when we do that, God is glorified. God is glorified. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to have fruit. You know, I hope if you could see me spiritually, I look like a grapevine up here with grapes hanging all over it. Amen? Oh. Some of you like purple. Some of you like green. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let me tell you this, though, about bearing fruit. It don't happen overnight. It don't happen. Don't happen just like that. I just want you to know. As believers, our spiritual growth is a process. What process is that called? The sanctification process. We are in that process. And it requires time spent in prayer. Come on. It requires time to spit in the Word, but here's the most important thing. Because you can spend time in prayer and you can spend time in the Word, but unless you have made a conscious decision to receive, come on, what God has for you, then you'll never receive anything. You need to let Him know. You need to let Him know, man, that you are here to receive and be receptive of not only the Word of God, but the work of God. The work of God. Something else it tells me, and this is a good one. If he's the vine and I'm the branch, I'm not in this journey alone. I'm not some branch floating out there on my own, trying to do this on my own. I'm connected to the vine. I'm not in this alone. And by the way, I got the greatest, most powerful, most authoritative vine that has ever been ever. Amen. So I'm not in this alone. Don't ever think if you're a branch and you're connected to the vine, you are not alone ever. Ever are you alone. We're connected to the source of life, all source of love, and all source of truth. Amen. And just as the branch draws its life from Jesus, from the vine, we draw our life from Jesus. You know what he is? He's my strength when I am weak. He is my hope when I am discouraged. Come on. And he is my peace in every storm of life, every circumstance of life, because I am a branch and I am connected to the vine. And I have that. I have that power and I have that authority. Amen? Because of the vine, not because of the branch, but because of the vine. Before we leave this section, I want to point something out to you. Because he said in verse 3, it's up on the board, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So you are already clean. Remember he said that back in 13 when he was washing the feet of all those 12 that were there, if you remember, right? And he said, and then verse 7 here, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. I want you to see here how important the word is. Come on. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. And then he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You know when I read that? I said, man, Psalms 119:11. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. You can take that word and you can put it in your heart and hide it in your heart. And you know what happens when you come across a situation, a circumstance, a trial, a storm? You know what comes out? That word. That word says, hey, here I am. You put me in here for a reason. And I want you to know that I always keep my promise. And here I am to remind you of what you need to know. Remember what he said in chapter 13? He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and he will bring to remembrance everything or all that I have told you. Amen. You know something? You can't remember anything you've never learned. Can I say that again? You cannot remember anything you have never learned. So what is God going to bring to mind or bring to remembrance if you've never learned it? Come on, the Word of God, you got to, but I promise you this, you sit down and say, Lord, I'm reading this, I want to hear from you, I want you to put this into my heart. He'll do it. He'll do it. How do you know he'll do it? Because he said he would. And he's never broke a promise, ever, nor will he ever break a promise. Amen? Man, my God is good. I don't know about yours, mine is, though. So what he's saying here is, and by the way, when he says you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, so he said that back in chapter 13, but and here again he says, if my word abides in you if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So he's talking about not just a cleansing. There is an initial cleansing. But he's also talking about a continual cleansing. You mean the Word of God is like a cleansing agent? Yes, it is. You ever read something and said, oh, heck, I don't line up with that? Today? Come on. What's changing you? The Word of God changes you. It's the Word of God that transforms you. It's the Word of God that changes your heart, which changes your thoughts, which changes your mind, which changes your actions. It's the Word of God. Because it is a cleansing agent. Does it convict us through the Holy Spirit and condemn the sin in our lives? Yes, but unless we read it, we'll never know it. Some of us just want to be that way. You know, the less I know, the better. Right? The less I know, the less I'm going to be held accountable for. No, 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 no. That ain't the way it's going to work, my friend. Good luck. So the Word of God, does it inspire you? It inspires me. It inspires holiness. Amen. It inspires holiness within me. It promotes growth. But here is the most important thing I think the Word of God does for me. It reveals to me the power and authority that I have in Jesus Christ. It reveals to me the power and authority that I have because I am a branch that is connected to the vine. And listen, the Word of God will show me the pathway to victory in every single situation in life. Oh yeah, it's in there. You want power over discouragement? It's in there. Anxiety? It's in there. Come on. You want to know how a marriage should work? It's in there. Come on. Whatever you want to know about your life, it's in there. The question is, do you want to go get it? It's like a smorgasbord. You want a little of that? A little bit of that? A little bit of that? Amen. Oh, God is good, isn't he? Listen, God will continue to wash his people through his word if you have a heart and a desire to read it. Amen. He will. And it's a nice thing, man. It's a very good thing. All right. Let's go and let's read the last verse. We're going to go through 17. You with me? As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Wait a minute now. Hold on a minute. Because Jesus just said in the last chapter, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So Jesus said, he gave us his peace. What? Now he says, man, I'm telling you these things so that you may have my joy. And listen, don't miss this, because he says, only when you have my joy can your joy be complete. The world's joy will never bring you to completion. But I'm just so happy, man. I got God's peace, God's joy. Amen. I'm blessed, man. By the way, 1 Peter chapter 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Peter speaks about that joy, and he says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And some translations say, joy inexpressible. You know what that means? That means there's not enough words to express the joy that you can feel when you are inhabited with the joy of Jesus Christ. But remember what he said about peace? A peace that surpasses. So I got a peace I can't explain, and a joy I can't express. Amen. Come on. You can see, you can tell them people, you can see them coming. You, man, what's wrong with that buddy? Right? They're like a rock, man. They're like a rock. Nothing can take their peace. Nothing can take their joy, because it ain't what the world gave them. It's what Christ gave them. And they're in the vine. They're connected. They're steadfast, man, producing fruit. Come on. Pruning. They've been pruned. Right? Yes. Yes. Pruning builds faith, my friend. Pruning builds faith. All right. I don't know where I left off. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Wait a minute. That's not the first time he said that. If you go back to chapter 13, verse 34, he said that exact same thing. This is my commandment. Back in 13, though, he said, a new command I give you. It's not new anymore. That's why he didn't say new. Because he already said it previously. Amen? Just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends. If, there's that dang two-letter word. If you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So let me ask you this. Do you have everything you need to be a successful, vibrant Christian on this planet, in this world? Do you? They're all there. They're all there. They're all there. Amen. You did not choose me. Oh, wow. But I chose you. Why? Why, Lord? I appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit. Boy, he makes it really plain there. There's no way to misinterpret that. You didn't choose me, I chose you, and I chose you for a reason. I appointed you to go and bear much fruit. And that your fruit, what, should remain. Why does he say that? Why does he say, and your fruit should remain? Because he said earlier, without me you can do nothing, and your fruit will not remain unless it was done for him, in him, and through him. Amen. A lot of people are going to get to heaven, man. They're going to say, well, I got, where's my rewards? Where'd it go? What? Ain't none. What happened? Wrong heart? Wrong mind? No rewards. Wrong motive. Man, the works I'm talking about, the rewards I'm talking about, have to be done and motivated by the Holy Spirit within you. And listen, he tells you to do something, and you go there thinking, golly, I could be fishing. I could be driving my motorcycle. I could be doing this, or I could be doing that. Listen, you ain't getting nothing for that. I ain't getting nothing. I got some. I ain't getting no rewards for it. And so do you. But you know what? He's offering us here an opportunity to make sure the next time we do it for the right reason with the right heart. Amen? We're doing it for him. We're not doing it for the reward. We're doing it because we love him. That's why we're doing it. All right. Oh, and he says this again, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He said that at the end of chapter 13. He said it right here in the first part of 15. And he said it again right here in 15 as well. These things I command you, that you love one another. How important is it that we love one another? It's imperative. Because listen, you can't be obedient unless you love God. And listen, you can't love your brother unless you love God. You can't even be in the vine unless you love God. You certainly can't bear fruit that will last or remain unless you love God. Man, do you love God? Amen. You know what he said last week? Remember, he said it four times. He said, if you love me, so let me ask you in a different way. Do you keep God's commands? Kinda? Well, then you kinda love him. Come on. Do you keep God's commands? No. Then you don't love him. If Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands, he means what he says, don't you think? Is there any other way to interpret that? I wonder. Well, just in case there was, he said it four times. Just in case we want to try to change of what he said it four times. All right. So Jesus says something here at the beginning of this discourse right here. Man, it's a profound declaration. Here's what he said. As the Father has loved me, I love you. Can I read that? Can I say that again? As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. This is a very powerful statement. It is a powerful statement. Listen, he is saying that the love that the Father has for him and he has for the Father is mirrored by or is the same as the love he has for me. How does that make any sense? But it's true, isn't it? It's true, man. It's true. The same love. The intimacy, yes. So what does the love look like between the Father and the Son? Well, it's absolute. It's unchanging. And it's eternal. Come on. And that's the love that Jesus has for you and me. If I don't know, if that don't get you shaking a little bit, come on. Knock a little bit of the breath out of you. So listen to me. Here's what I'm telling you. Never ever doubt the love of Jesus. Because when you do, it ain't him. It's all on you. Because he just said he loved you with the same love that the Father loved him. Man, wow! All right. He also said this in verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for another. Lay down his life for a friend. Did Jesus prove that he loved us? How? He stepped out of heaven, right? He put on flesh or became a man. He was tempted in every way, chose to be. Wait a minute, he chose to step out of heaven, didn't he? He chose to put on flesh, did he not? He chose to be tempted in every way we were tempted, but was without sin. Am I right? He chose to suffer a horrible, torturous death on the cross of Calvary, and he chose to do that for you and me. Amen? So he chose to do all these things because of why? It was motivated by one thing. I get it now. Don't you get it? And listen, I understand this too. The choices that Jesus made here were not based on my worthiness. Come on. Do you understand how we can take this love that Jesus loves us with, that is the same between the love that the Father and the Son have, and to know that He loves us with that love, not because we are worthy of that love, not because we deserve that love, not because of our own goodness. No, He made those choices, and He chose to love us, amen, because He created us, and He wanted to give us a way back into fellowship with the Father. Man. Listen, it's only that kind of love that can do that. Think about that for a minute. Man. So we are loved by Jesus, right? We are chosen by Jesus. And I think we have a special place in His heart. Wouldn't that be fair to say? And in that place, man, is a place of belonging, a place of acceptance, a place of security and safety. Amen? All right. Jesus chose us for a purpose, right? He said in verse 16, "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you." What does appointed mean? All right. "I did not choose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Now, when He chose us, He gives us an appointment. What is an appointment? It's a responsibility. He's saying, all right, you didn't pick me. I picked you. But in doing that, I have given you an appointment, all right? A responsibility, a job to do. Come on. And what does He say? "That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Amen? So we are called, and we are chosen to bear fruit. What does that mean? That means that our lives should reflect the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our lives should reflect His love, His mercy, His grace. And you know what? We should affect the world around us. We should affect the world around us. Amen? Again, for the third time, He says, "Whatever you ask in My name, My Father will give you." Because we are loved, because we are chosen, you know what Jesus does? You know what that relationship does? It gives us access to heaven itself. I don't know if you're feeling blessed, but I am. Huh? Joy, peace. Come on. Love of God. Access to heaven. That's what He's saying. He's giving us access to heaven itself, man. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that is. So Jesus gives us the access, and He says, "Whatever we ask in His name, the Father will give us." Man, don't that get your mind going? But listen, He done laid out the kind of relationship that you would have, the kind of vine, the kind of branch you would be in that vine. And when you, and what He's really saying here is this ain't a blank check, right, to fulfill your desires. Because when you're truly connected to the vine and you are a branch that is producing fruit, your desire and His desire will line up. So what you ask for, He has no problem giving you. You follow me? Did I explain that right? Oh, I want a new bike. New house, new car. No. No. That's not the way it works. Amen? All right, let me close with this. Let's, you and I this morning, make a decision. First of all, let's make a decision to abide, to stay close to, connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, it's a lot easier to bear fruit that way. Let's stay connected to Him through prayer. Through the reading of God's Word, we can stay connected, right? Through fellowship. Come on, with other believers. We're called to do that, am I not? Am I or not? What, anybody know what Hebrews 10:25 says? Do not forsake, that sounds like a command. Do not forsake the gathering of the fellowship as some have. Amen. Let's ask him this morning, Lord, help me bear more fruit. Listen, understand this. When you ask him of that, he's told us how it's got to be done. There's going to be some pruning involved. You know, I'm a firm believer, no pain, no gain. Amen. God's got to prune us. God's got to increase our faith. And how does he do that? Through trials and tribulations and struggles is the way that our faith is built. But listen, I say, okay, bring it on, man. Bring it on. If it'll make me a better Christian, make me look more like my Savior, come on. Help the world around me. Build the kingdom around me. Store up treasures in heaven. Come on. Amen. What are you willing to give for that? A little bit of pain? Next week when we start, if you guys read ahead, you know he starts out in verse 18. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Let us trust that because we abide in him, because we bear fruit for him, and because he said this three times, that he hears you. He hears your prayers. And listen, he will answer them according to his perfect will and his perfect timing. Amen? That's what he means here. So that's the story of the I am the vine and you are the branches. Amen, if you would stand with me. You know, I asked you a few times, man, what does your branch look like? That's a fair question. And really only one you can ask. You can answer it. Amen? Just don't let the enemy fool you. Are you bearing fruit for the Lord? Are you bearing fruit for the Lord? Because really, he says right here, if a branch that does not bear fruit has no value. And we're just going to cut that thing off. We're going to put it over here because it's withered, and we're going to burn it. So he's really saying that it has no value. Amen? And I hope that's not you this morning. I hope you can look at your life and say, yes, fruit. But listen, if that's you and you got fruit, I want you to ask the Lord this morning to put you in a position to bear more fruit. That's what you're asking God. You're saying, Lord, I'm welcoming a little pruning. But I'll tell you what, man, once it's all said and done, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. You want that joy this morning? That joy, unspeakable, inexpressible, full of glory. Man, there's something different about a person who has the joy of the Lord. I just want you to know, man. Huh? You just want to be around them people. Right? Or maybe you're so unjoyful you don't. But I do. I want to be around them people who love the Lord, who got the joy of the Lord, because I know how they got the joy of the Lord. Come on. They're connected to the vine. They're a branch that's in the vine. They're bearing fruit. They love God. They love their brother. They're being obedient. That's where you get the joy of that Lord. It's inexpressible. Maybe you need a little of that some more. Come on. Listen, if you're here today, listen, please hear me for just one second. And you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never made him your Lord and Savior. Please come and see me. Or you can step forward during this invitation time. And I will introduce you and give you the opportunity to make the greatest decision that you have ever made. And that is to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning again for your word. Thank you, Father, that it has transforming power. Thank you for speaking to each of us this morning, Lord. And as you have spoken, Lord, whatever it is you've asked us to do, I pray that each of us will do that. Make an effort, Lord, to do what it is you've asked us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Father, I want to personally thank you for just reminding me how much you love me. Sometimes we forget, Lord, all the noise and everything in the world, but you love me with the same love that you love your Father and the Father loves you. And we love you, Lord. We open this invitation up to you. Just speak to your people, Lord. If there's a person here that doesn't know you, speak to them this morning as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.